Hello and welcome back, everyone, to The Dawn of Man. This is a podcast hosted by me, Victor Murillo, who is an undergraduate student all the way live from and attending California State University, Dominguez Hills. This podcast is an opportunity for me to share interesting stories, facts, and events during specific eras of world history. In our first dozen of episodes, I will be sharing stories, facts, and events of both World War I and World War II. My goal is to present to you stories that are not looked at enough and why these events matter. I recently took a class about both world wars, and I thought I knew a lot about both of them, but it turns out I really didn't. Personally, I never focus on the small details, and to my surprise, I found out a lot that stuck with me, and as something that is interest to many, what better way to start this podcast than to talk about these stories of events that have come from both World War I and World War II that changed not just one nation's story, but that impacted multiple. Today, I will present to you the story of the 77th Infantry Division Battalion, part of the United States Army in the First World War, better known as the Lost Battalion. This group, consisting of 500-plus men, were part of the Meuse-Argonne offensive attack in October 1918. Coming in confident in this battle with 1 million-plus men to fight alongside with, they wouldn't expect the kind of horrors that were next for them. Could you imagine yourself alongside 1 million-plus men confident and ready to go into one of the biggest battles in World War I, but soon an enemies with little to no chance of survival? This is the eerie tale of the 77th Battalion that was lost. Entering the final act of the First World War, the Allied forces were prepared to end things as soon as possible at this point. With this thought in mind, the Allied forces, and mainly the United States, started coming up with the plan to form an offensive attack against the Germans in France. At this point, they were trying to get the majority of Germans that came into France through the Scheifele invasion that they launched on them. Germans made their mark and stood on French territory as they invaded France through this operation. But with efforts of the Allied force, they would slowly get control of France back again with counter-offensive operations. One of their major operations that had the Allies take control of France again was the Second Battle of Marne in 1918. This was a huge win for the Allies as they were now getting momentum to end the war and thus wanting to push Germans even further back to Germany. They wanted to get something that definitely would get them the momentum to end this war. Through the American Expeditionary Forces, or the AEF, commanded by John J. Pershing, and with help of the French, British, and even more American military units, including the 369th Regiment, listen to my last episode for more about them, and the 77th Battalion. The Allied forces were ready to launch the biggest and deadliest American campaign that would start the pushback of Germans away from France and back to Germany, so that they could start the end of the war. Through all the different armed units that I mentioned that were part of the offensive, you may notice that I named one in particular besides the shout out that I gave to the Harlem Hellfighters, who I talked about them in my previous episode, and that is the 77th Battalion. The 77th Battalion actually consisted of multiple men that were formed from different battalions, but mainly the 306, 307, and 308, who spent most of their time together in Europe for 68 days, which is about 2 months and 1 week, fighting battles like Bacrot, Aisne-Marne, and Oise-Aisne. Sorry if I pronounced or butchered those names. They were all mainly men that came from New York City. In fact, some of them were actually immigrants, making the group of men diverse, as they came from multiple different backgrounds, some of them being Irish, Polish, Jewish, and Italian. The group was also formed and trained into the AEF with the American military in Camp Upton, Yamfunk, New York, and officially came together on August 25th, 1917. Heading into Europe, the group amounted to a total of 679 men. But after the tough battles that they would go through in the battles that I mentioned before, from August all the way to the 26th, heading into Europe, the group amounted of a total of 679 men. But after the tough battles that they would go through in the battles I mentioned before, from August all the way to the 26th of September, which was the beginning of the Meuse-Argonne offensive, they were cut down to a total of just 554 men. Which is still a good amount, and not that much of a loss in numbers for this offensive anyway, since the Allies were heading in with 1 million plus American soldiers participating in this campaign alone. But it was still a good amount of them that was lost. But going into the Meuse-Argonne, I mean, you still are pretty confident. Going into this battle on your side of the war, you and your nation are busting out chess masterclass moves to finally put this war to rest, and are ready to give it all to end this war, making such a big move with 1 million plus men going into the battle with odds that you will for sure come out victorious. I mean, it's a high chance that you're going to come out victorious out of this battle. Going into Europe, the group amounted to a total of 679 men. But after the tough battles that they would go through in the battles I mentioned before, from August all the way to the 26th of September, which was the beginning of the Meuse-Argonne Offensive, they were cut down to only 554 men, which is still a good amount and not that much of a loss in numbers for this offensive anyway, since the Allies were heading in with 1 million plus American soldiers participating in this campaign alone. Just American soldiers. I mean, they still had the French and the British, but it was still a good amount of them that was lost out of the 77th. But going into the Meuse-Argonne, I mean, you still are pretty confident you're going into this battle on your side of the war because your nation is busting out chess masterclass moves to finally put this war to rest and are ready to give it all to end this war, making such a big move with 1 million plus men going into battle with odds that you will for sure come out victorious. Major Charles Wriothesley from 308th Regiment was ready to command and lead the 77th in the offensive. He was a Harvard Law School graduate before serving in the war, and now he has the responsibility to lead these men into war. Now, September 26th has come, and the Meuse-Argonne has officially launched. The 77th Battalion is now on a mission during this campaign and has been tasked to capture Hill 198 with the help of the 4th French Army and the 28th American Regiment. The push to get to this hill was going pretty well for the group of men. They were taking care of everything that was in their way with not much trouble and seems like it was going smooth. There were no bumps in the road and everything seemed almost easy. With their wise decisions in battle using flank tactics and strength in numbers, this mission was going very well. That is until October the 2nd would arrive. On this day, late into it, approaching the hill that they were meant to capture, the 77th were still doing well and keeping a steady pace approaching the hill, as they were still cutting down enemies and well on their way to get to the hill. But as they were doing well, their support groups were not, as they were having trouble progressing towards the hill and keeping up with the 77th. Both the 4th French Army and the 28th American Regiment were really behind and aware that they were well ahead of their support groups. The 77th had no idea that they were beyond, and they had no idea what was ahead of them. And they didn't have any help besides each other, as they kept advancing as they believed that the groups that they were with would pop up any second. But in reality, that they were nowhere near them. So, as the 77th Battalion is now successfully capturing the 198 Hill, thinking that they are badass and that was light work, Germans are launching counterattacks against their support groups, having them fall back and leave the battalion isolated on the hill. So now that the Germans got rid of their support, they have the 77th vulnerable. As Germans now approach their position and coming to the realization that they were surrounded by German forces, Major Charles and the 77th realized that they were about to get sandwiched. Charles knew that they either had to hold their position and fight or to give up and surrender, but he believed that there was no other choice to this situation, as it would be foolish to stand and fight. Heading into Europe, the group amounted to a total of 679 men. But after the tough battles that they would go through in the battles I mentioned before, from August all the way to the 26th of September, which was the beginning of the Meuse-Argonne offensive. Oh no, I didn't like that. Okay, I thought I wasn't recording. Heading into Europe, the group amounted to a total of 679 men. But after the tough battles that they would go through in the battles I mentioned before, from August all the way to the 26th of September, which was the beginning of the Meuse-Argonne offensive, they were cut down to just a total of 554 men, which is still a good amount and not that much of a loss in numbers for this offensive anyway, since the Allies were heading in with 1 million plus American soldiers participating in this campaign alone. That's just the American soldiers. We still have French and British units that are helping and supporting this offensive. 1 million Americans alone. But it was still a good amount of them that was lost for the 77th. But going into the Meuse-Argonne offensive, I mean, you still are pretty confident going into this battle on your side of the war. You and your nation are busting out chess masterclass moves to finally put this war to rest and are ready to give it all to end this war, making such a big move with 1 million plus men going into battle with odds that you will for sure become victorious. Major Charles Wriothesley from the 308th Regiment was ready to command and lead the 77th in this offensive. He was a Harvard Law School graduate before serving in the war, and now he has the responsibility to lead these men into war. Now September 26th has come, and the Meuse-Argonne has officially launched. The 77th Battalion is now on a mission during this campaign and has been tasked to capture Hill 198 with the help of the 4th French Army and the 28th American Regiment. The push to get to this hill was going pretty well for the group of men. They were taking care of everything that was in their way with not much trouble, and everything seems like it was going smooth. And no bumps were in the side of the road that they were on, With their wise decisions in battle, using flank tactics and strength in numbers, this mission was going very well until October the 2nd would arrive. On this day, late into it, approaching the hill that they were meant to capture, the 77th were still doing well in capturing and keeping a steady pace approaching the hill, that they were still cutting down enemies and were still on their way to the hill. But as they were doing well, the support groups that they were with, like the French army and the American regiment, they were not doing so well, as they were having trouble progressing towards the hill and keeping up with the 77th. Both the 4th French Army and the 20th American Regiment were really behind and unaware that they were well ahead of their support groups. The 77th had no idea that they were beyond ahead, and they had no idea what was ahead of them. They didn't have any help besides each other, and they kept advancing as they believed that the groups that they were with would pop up any second to help them, but in reality, they were nowhere near them. So as the 77th Battalion is now successfully capturing the 198 Hill, thinking that they are badass and, you know, that was light work, Germans are launching counterattacks against their support groups, having them fall back and leave the battalion isolated on the hill. So now that the Germans got rid of their support, they would have the 77th vulnerable, as the Germans now approached their position and coming to the realization that they were surrounded by German forces. Major Charles and the 77th realized that they were about to get sandwiched. I mean, this is a whole freaking four-night third party situation here. Charles knew that they either had to hold their position and fight or to give up and surrender. But he believed that there was no other choice to this situation, as it would be foolish to stand and fight. So he obviously, in good old American spirit and nationalist pride, ordered the battalion to stand their ground and fight and not surrender to the Germans. All right, but all jokes aside, this is pretty bad. This is pretty badass, okay? This is pretty badass and bad. It's both. Because when the Germans would ask them to surrender, this guy Charles would yell back in the middle of battle, "Come and get us." Bro is crazy. He's crazy for that. He is asking for his death wish. And not only that, but like, dude, you even know the situation that you are in right now. Do you even realize the situation that you have in hand? And 500 men, yeah, cool, but you guys have nowhere to go. Like, you guys are just stalling to this point to see if some miracle can get you guys out of this situation. But with this delusional idea that he would be having in his mind that he would be saved sooner or later, it kept him motivated to keep fighting on at least. And this now is where things start getting nasty, as the 77 will now try and survive as long as they can and try and hope and wait and see if they could be saved. With hopes of the 4th French Army and the 28th Regiment to come back with more support to help them, they would be the only ones that know where their position is. They were the only ones that knew that they were on the 198 Hill and where they went. The 77th would continue fighting on in hopes that this was true and that they would be okay in the end, that there would be reinforcements and that the reinforcements would end up saving the day and helping them. But until then, they had Father Time and the Germans to fight, as the Germans would consistently throw grenades at them, engage in rifle warfare, and things were not going so well. Through these days that they were trying to survive, more than 100 men would be captured and taken prisoner, and to make matters worse, their own comrades were fighting against each other. Through miscommunication, some of the battalion would order artillery barrages that would be targeted against Charles and his men, as they were mistaken for Germans. I mean, could it really get any worse than that? So now for Charles, Charles is over here worried about Germans killing him and his men, praying to every god that he will get out of this alive, and now his own men are trying to kill him. It's all bad. It's all bad, man. It got to the point that Charles and his men would order carrier pigeons to get in contact with the 308th that were attacking him and his men, to order them to stop firing them, or to stop firing at them, and that they have them confused for Germans. In the note that Cher Ami, the pigeon, would carry Charles, the Charles note would say, "We are along the road parallel 276.4. Our artillery is dropping the barrage directly on us. For heaven's sake, stop it." Begging for them to realize that they are wasting time trying to kill their own allies, while Germans might be even more close to killing them, as they are distracted for all the wrong reasons. Later on, Germans would throw a note to Charles that was written, a note from his men that were captured, to order him to surrender as they were being held captive. And there is a rumor that when Germans threatened him with this letter that he would receive from one of the prisoners that they captured, As he read it, he supposedly yelled back at them to go to hell. Although it was confirmed by Charles himself later that he didn't say this, I find it pretty badass. Just like a lot of American historian exaggeration, this was just to make him seem cooler. But I mean, to be fair, that would have been even more cool to show that this dude really has lost his mind. But again, pretty badass. But on October the 7th, the Lost Battalion would sigh in relief as after German soldiers failed the last attack of desperation to kill all of the men, they would fall short and would lead to a retreat as they would also look back and realize that the 82nd American Division was now arriving as backup to rescue the 77th. They had a retreat due to the 82nd coming in with strength in numbers, and the Germans noticed that if they didn't retreat soon, they would also end up being surrounded like the 77th. As soon as the Germans were gone following the arrival of the 82nd, they would immediately start attending their wounds and feeding the starving soldiers that had been surviving all this time. The nightmare was finally over for these guys, and the slim chances of survival actually went through as they would be rescued. They outlasted death for 6 days, from October the 2nd to the 7th, and it paid off to hold their position and fight for their lives. They came into the Meuse-Argonne offensive with 554 men, but when rescued, 107 would be killed, 190 injured or gravely wounded, and 63 would have gone missing due to them most likely being captured as prisoners, leaving them with only 194 survivors. They were given time to rest and heal up, especially for those that were injured, but only after that time would pass, they would immediately go back into the Argonne offensive as they would be tasked with similar tasks of capturing areas or engaging in combat to push enemy lines back. The only difference is now, since they were rescued and when they learned about Major Charles and his leadership when they were lost, they would immediately promote him to lieutenant colonel and was in a bigger position in the military ranks. But as you can imagine, through this time it was hard for any kind of soldier to get back into the rhythm of having a normal life. Jobs were not available and there was no housing either. And for a group of soldiers that had it the way that they did, the 77th had a harder time trying to move on with their lives, going back home. The events of them surviving those horror days were still pretty recent and something that was haunting them for sure. I mean, they only spent 68 days, which is about 2 months in a week, in Europe on the battlefield and had a pretty traumatic situation occur for them. PTSD and paranoia were for sure keeping them up at night, and things would only get weirder for the main man that led them in Europe, as Lieutenant Colonel Charles Willesley would have a tragic ending to his life after the war. On November 21st, 1921, 3 years after the war had ended, on his way to Havana, Cuba, from New York, Charles would board the SS Toloa to go to Cuba. But on his way to Cuba, he would sadly take his own life and jump off the boat and drown. He was only 37 when he would pass. It was known very well that out of most men of the 77th, Charles was heavily impacted through what he went through in the war. And specifically the situation of him and his men being lost, he had the pressure and weight on his soldiers the most. He had the pressure of the men's lives that he fought next to, but also the responsibility for making critical decisions to take and try to survive in the war. He was heavily depressed and had PTSD. Alongside Lieutenant Arthur Keoghan and Private Thomas O'Shea, Charles and these two other men were the only ones out of the 77th Battalion that would be awarded with the Medal of Honor by the United States Army for their heroics in the Meuse-Argonne offensive operation. After the 77th would disband and every soldier wouldn't see any kind of war since then. But come World War II, the 77th was actually brought back together and rebuilt under new soldiers that was reactivated to serve under the United States Army once more for World War II. And the division actually stayed up post-war and was known as a Liberty Patch Division, but since 2008, it hasn't been active since. Now, technically, the 77th, even with their famous name, they were never really lost. Yes, they were isolated and away from allies to help them, but they didn't get quote-unquote lost. I mean, I feel like people usually think about them and they think, oh no, these group of men went to the forest and, oh no, where are we? Ah, Germans, ah no, bum, 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 bum. Like, no. They were the ones who did get themselves in the situation. Of course, it wasn't really their fault or as if they got cocky because the road to the hill was easy, but they didn't know that the reinforcements that they were fighting alongside with would also be forced to fall back against the Germans on their way to the hill as well. So, not too sure how I feel about them being lost. I'd say more, oopsie. They are the oopsie battalion in my eyes. But the story that they have really is amazing though, no doubting that. They fought as long as they could like madmen to see if they could be saved, and their hard fight would be paid off. Yes, of course, there were a lot of casualties and sad ending to these soldiers' lives, but it is amazing to know what they did on the battlefield with the courage that they displayed. I really wanted to talk about this group of men to show not only just the general story of what they are known for, but also the story of Lieutenant Charles as well. I find his story so sad, but to research and find how this guy acted on the battlefield was amazing. His strong character and great leadership really helped the battalion survive in the first place. World War I, and specifically the Meuse-Argonne Offensive, has brought so many interesting stories to me through its long length of an operation that lasted pretty much 100 days. I mean, that's about 3.5 months. But when looking for World War I stories to tell, this one definitely caught my attention, as it brings a lot to the table of the understanding of how deadly and severe the stakes can get in war, as well as the chaos that happens, but also showing the toll that affects the mental health of many soldiers going back home carrying the demons in their heads. Well, I hope with this episode I was able to give you listeners a new piece of context on World War I history, and an interesting tale adding to your timeline of history as well. I appreciate everyone lending their ears to listen to this episode and giving me the opportunity to tell you something that I have interest in. I would also appreciate you following the podcast Instagram at the Dawn of Man Podcast and recommending a friend to listen. Other than that, thank you, and I'll see you guys in the next one. War will always be scary and dangerous no matter what. It is bad blood and rage from one country to another as it looks for peace. But did you ever hear of the time when they met in the middle for Christmas as the firewood ceased?